This is May 14th, 1992, and I'm at Vernon Berkey's camp up near Helvetia, speaking with Vernon Berkey.
Yeah, my dad and my uncle, they get rained out of the hayfield sometimes, and so they decide to go fishing, trout fishing. That is the main thing, is trout. So they would go in these little brook trout streams. They'd take a couple of old 5-pound sugar sacks with them. And, well, they'd be gone maybe 2 or 3 hours. And they'd return with those sugar sacks, 5-pound, plumb full of native trout, which filled all the streams in this area. So then the 1930s came along, the drought that everybody reads about or knows about if they're my age. And since then, we haven't had hardly any trout left. But they're recovering, I think.
This will be take two.
Well, along before 1930, my dad used to get rained out of the hayfield, so they would take a fishing trip like to Nettle Run or all any of these little creeks that don't have any trout in them now. So they'd take 5-pound sugar sacks, which were made out of material, with them. And when they come back, they'd have those sugar sacks filled full of native trout, which you can't hardly find anymore. And since the 1930s, the water was so dry that they hardly any of them recovered.
Okay, this will be take three.
When my dad and my uncle used to get rained out of the hayfield in the summertime, they would maybe go over to Nettle Run or to the Hartman Creek or down by the coke ovens or Parting Springs creeks, and they would take 5-pound sugar sacks with them to put the fish in. And when they came back, like later on in the evening, they'd have a whole string of fish. I mean, the string was, those sugar sacks were plumb full of nice native trout. But since 1930, the drought hit here, and the trout have never fully recovered. So we're just hoping someday that they'll be like that again. When my dad and my uncle used to make hay, they'd get rained out, and that was the time for them to go fishing. So they would go to Nettle Run real fast, or down to the Hartman Creek, or Parting Springs, and they would take like 5-pound sugar sacks that were used to be made out of material. So they'd take those back with them to bring the fish back. So when they returned, they would always have them bags full of fish. Of course, them days they didn't have no limit either, let me tell you that. But now I still like to come back to some of them places where they used to fish and try my luck, which is very seldom you catch one. But they're coming back, I think, if we can keep the waters clear and so on and so forth. Yeah, we'd go down here below my uncle's house, and that is just one hill here. And we'd try our luck when we was kids. Once in a while we'd catch a nice big one, and that really make us feel good. And I remember when my cousin was 10, 12 years old, and we went down here to Nettle Run, and we got down as far as where the little creek joins the main creek, the right-hand prong of the Buchanan, and she caught like an 8-inch trout. But we never did figure out where it came from, and there wasn't that kind of fish around that much. Of course, she was lucky and got it. And it was real nice. Well, my granddad always had good wine, and he was probably the professional in this community of making his own wine, and we never did sell it. Nobody that I know of sold wine, but which was against the law. But everybody had their own for their home use, so people would visit each other, and they would taste their wine, and when you go from one place to the other, you always got a glass of wine. But then there was some guys would come along and make a habit of just coming whenever they got real thirsty. So my granddad kind of got onto that, and he always had a good barrel of wine that was maybe 2 years old or older, and he kept that for his best friends. But then some of these guys that were there, just habitual, he would bring some wine that was kind of miss or hit. So he would give them that, and they would kind of turn up their snoots or frown on that and leave. That was his theory of getting rid of them, giving them some of the old wine or the bad wine. Of course, he always treated most everybody else fair. When they came there, he'd give them a good glass of wine, and that was just about it. He wouldn't let them sit there and get polluted. I've been trying to turkey hunt for several years, spring gobbler. But then my cousin, Howard Metzner, goes by here of a morning, and when he comes back from pickings, he has a big gobbler in his cab of his truck. He just goes by here to check it in up at Pickens. But my dad used to go out and fall turkey hunt, but he made a call out of turkey bones. He took a wing bone and hollowed it out, and a leg bone, and put them together, and then he'd suck through them and make a fine tone like a turkey call. And he used to get turkeys quite a bit with them. And there's a picture of him in the hall at Helvetia with a big turkey where he'd called up and shot with an old shotgun his dad used to have. And that gun is still around. My brother has it. Fred Berkey Sr. is my granddad, sitting beside his wife, and he used to play the fiddle, or violin, whatever you want to call it.
Just a minute, Berkey. Vernon, let's wait till this truck goes by.
Here's my granddad, Fred Berkey Sr., sitting beside of his wife, Eliza, and he used to play the violin. Also behind him directly is my dad, Ernest Berkey, and he also played the violin. And I have got the violin that my granddad bought and passed on to his son, Ernest, and he passed it on to me. Now over on the left is Fred Berkey, Jr., and he also played the violin. And Freddie has his fiddle. On the left of that is Werner. He played the guitar. And the little boy on the left, clear left, is Irwin. He also played the fiddle. And I have his violin. And on the far right is Aunt Julia. She is living at the day, the only one in the family. She is 95 years old. She's in a home in Cleveland, Ohio. And the house behind them people, the step on the left, is made out of cement now. And up on the floor, the joists have been replaced. And the flooring is made out of womanized lumber. And it's also painted. And the paling has been repaired identically as the old was. And the grapevine is still there. I think it's the same vine, and it encircles the whole porch.
Okay, just start with the grapevine again. Try that again.
The grapevine has been there since this picture, I guess. But it's the same one. It still goes up on the porch. This is my grandfather and grandmother, Berkey, and they were born in Munzingen, Canton of Bern, emigrated with his parents in 1869.
That's...
This is my grandparents, Fred Berkey and Eliza Berkey. They were born in Munzingen, Canton of Bern, and immigrated here in 1869 with their parents.
Okay, now let's just say basically the same thing without the picture. Just say, my grandparents were...
My grandparents, Eliza and Frederick Berkey, were... born in Munzingen, and immigrated here in 1869. Our grandparents used to sing all these little songs, and there were songs that they had learned from their parents over in Switzerland, which Norman and I and my sisters and a lot of people from around Helvetia used to sing, and we learned them, and we still sing part of them, which we haven't forgot.
Okay.
My granddad always used to have some beautiful yodel pieces on his Victrola, and they also sang some of the songs that we learned and try to sing yet, but before we were 16 and our voice would change, my granddad always said, now this is the time for you boys to learn to yodel while your voice is changing, and that kind of brings the yodel out. Of course, we weren't interested that much in yodeling, but we still can sing the Swiss songs that we tried to sing a long time ago. When my granddad, we used to sing at home, and when my granddad would tell us and try to make us sing when our voice was trying to change, is the time that...
Another car.
A lot of these old songs that Norm and I still sing have came here from Switzerland by my granddad and grandmother. And we learned them, and that was back in 1869. And there went another. When Norman and I learned these songs, we were just little, and they were brought from Switzerland by our grandparents in 1869 or somewhere around there. And my granddad used to tell us to try to yodel when we were young and our voice just changing. He said that's the time to really learn to yodel. Of course, we can still sing the songs, but we're not that great at yodeling. The old trunks we had at home that Granddad and Grandmother brought from Switzerland was named on there was B-U-R-K-I. But I never heard where or when the change came about, but we spell our name B-U-R-K-Y now. At home, when we were little, Grandma and Grandpa used to stay with us all the time, and Grandma didn't know how to speak English. So we all learned from little to speak Swiss, and my oldest sister was, when she was 6 years old, ready to go to school, she cried and said, "Mommy, I don't want to go to school." She said, "I want to stay home and be a little Swiss girl," because she couldn't speak English. So they made her go anyway, and later on, by the time she finished high school and so on, she became a school teacher. So she's a retired school teacher now.
Just let me put on her. Is she the one that's still living?
Yes.
And what's her name?
Irene.
Irene, and she lives where?
In Worcester.
Worcester, uh-huh. Okay.
That's all right.
There, I turned it on, didn't I?
Yeah, that's it.
Years ago when we were in school, about this time of the year, which was in May, they had this, must have been like a dance or whatever you call it, but they called it the Maypole. So there was like 10 or 12 people in a circle, and they had this big, pole about 6 feet high, 8 feet high, and each person had a different color streamer made out of crepe paper. And then we'd go in a circle. They'd play music to it. They'd go in a circle, and then we'd weave in and out from person to person with our streamer in our hand, which would wind the streamer onto this pole. And when we'd finish up, the pole was all different colors, clear from the top to the bottom. And then we'd leave our ribbons hang there. And that is called the Maypole.